Hi, this is Fit as a Fiddle Plus. I'm Kathy Benner. I'm a passive income coach, and Rita Brewer is with me. I'm going to let her introduce herself in a moment and tell you a little bit about what she does. But tonight we are talking about being stressed. So, Rita, tell our listeners a little bit about you, and then I'll share my screen and we'll get started.
All right. Hey, everybody. I'm Rita Brewer. I am a physician associate and private health coach specializing type 2 diabetes reversal. And one of the biggest things that I see in my patient and client population that they're struggling with in meeting their health goals is that they are stressed to the gills. So I said, Kathy, we've got to talk about stress and the negative effects that it causes for us. So let's dive into that tonight.
Absolutely. I can't show you my desk, but I was just telling Rita, I can't even move the mouse around. I have stacks of papers here and there and everywhere. And so, yeah, I get it. I get the whole stress thing. Yes, absolutely. I am going to share my screen, and this is a checklist of things to help us overcome some of those negative effects of stress. Gosh, the first thing I think is to identify the stressors. How do you help your clients identify those, Rita?
Well, I have, for the most part, I have to help to point them out that they're even there because we live in a culture where we are so stressed all the time. We think it's normal. We
Yeah.
think it's normal to get up so early in the morning, get, the kids out for school and get yourself to work and, work till 5 o'clock and then run here and pick up the kids and help with the homework and get them to the school, school or sports events and come home and try meal. And like we consider that normal, but it's not. It's a very highly stressed out negative state to be in all the time. There's two parts of our nervous system. We've got the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. So the sympathetic nervous system is and you're in that fight or flight mode where you're running for your life when we need that adrenaline surge to get through the stressor. You think about the lion chasing the gazelle, right? It's that high intensity time. But after that situation is over, what do the lions do? They go and lay under the trees and they take a nap and they play with their family. And so they're the stressors are just short-lived. And that's how they're supposed to be for us too. But we live in such that chronic state of low stressors, but there's so many of them all the time. So identifying the fact that, living this crazy lifestyle is a stressor. There's many different types of stress, but the lifestyles that we live are stressful. So I'm always talking about people to people with people about how can first I helping them identify this is a stressful situation. You have a stressful lifestyle. You're not getting enough sleep. That is a stressor on your body. So people and I the thing that too I think that really helps is I give them permission to acknowledge that yes, oh, okay, I am maybe I am doing too much and I deserve to slow down and take a little better care of myself and make, other self-care things a priority over that to-do list that never ends. So, yeah, so there's so many stressors that we have to look at and identify.
I
So,
get it.
yeah.
I get it. I just wrote a blog post just this morning talking about how to add margins back into your time. And I just published that today. So for those that are listening, you can go online to Kathy Benner. I'm on Facebook, or just go to freestyleliving.net, which is my blog platform, and check out that latest blog. But it talks all about how to add margins back into your day. Because not only are we stressed with the kids and the job and trying to get dinner on the table, but how about just in the traffic, trying to get to work or get to the ball game or get to the school to get the kids on time? It's crazy. And I remember those days. And now for some of us, we get to work from home. Some of us don't. I get that. But even work from home now is a stressor because you've got the kids in the background and the dogs and the doors opening and closing. And you're trying to like be professional.
Multitasking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the second one is to prioritize your task. Now, I don't know about you, but I really like to run on a calendar, and my favorite calendar, and it goes right in line with the next one, which is time management. Create a schedule that allows for both work and relaxation. And I like Google Calendar because I don't know if all of you that are listening know this, but when you have a Google Calendar, and you, everybody that has a Gmail can have one, and it's a free Gmail, you can have a Google Calendar. You can create more than one calendar, and you can name those calendars different things. So it can be the kids' schedule. It can be your husband's schedule, your wife's schedule. It can be your work schedule. It can be your play schedule. You can have all these different calendars, and you can overlap them over top of each other. You can color code those calendars. And if that's too much stimulation all at once, you can click off the calendars that you don't want to look at and just open up the calendars that you do want to see. And, but if you want to see how your week is going to come together, like, you know, is my doctor's appointment not at the same time as the kids have, where the kids have to be somewhere, or a big work meeting, you can kind of overlap those and actually organize and keep track and create a schedule that works for you. Rita, how do you keep track of your time management and prioritizing?
I'll be honest. I'm an old school girl. I love my paper calendar. I've got one that has like all the hours of the day from 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. So there's a slot for lots of different things. I love my paper calendar, but I do keep everything on my phone calendar as well. I'm usually, you know, pretty mobile a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So that's what works best for me. I like to see it on paper. And I look at it every day, multiple times, just to make sure I'm on track. But that's a system that works well for me.
Because you know what, there's such a satisfaction of like marking something off.
Yeah. Yes. That's true.
That's kind of like you can let the air out.
Oh, yes.
Get that done. You know, yes. And so that's definitely a stress reliever right there. So talk about, since your background is in the medical profession, talk about healthy lifestyle, like diet, exercise, sleep. How important of a role are those things in reducing your stress?
They are critical because I said the stressors are not just the hectic lifestyle that we lead, but it's the toxic food that we eat with these busy lifestyles and just running through drive-throughs just to get a meal in. That's a stressor on the body. There's chemical toxins in the food that we're eating. So that is something that we really have to work on. Exercise can be a stressor too. Some people are over-exercising, which I see a lot, you know, in our menopausal women or perimenopausal women who are trying to lose weight, and they're just killing themselves, like, you know, really hard at the gym. And they don't realize that they're at a phase of their life where they actually need a little more gentle exercise. So doing it hardcore too much is not good for our hormone balancing. So too much exercise can be a stressor as well. Not getting enough sleep, a good quality sleep is a stressor. Again, causes hormonal imbalance, elevated cortisol levels and blood sugar levels, blood sugar cravings, which then lead to weight gain. So that, you know, is a big, big factor. Yeah. So,
I get it. And then of course, mindfulness and relaxation. I know just recently, I try to practice, every morning, some mindfulness, and one of the things that I've been working on, and Rita, I don't know if you've, studied this. I'm pretty sure you have, because I think when I first met you, I think this was one of the topics we were talking about, but, I am practicing trying to raise my vibration level. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to practice gratitude. And so oftentimes it's just a small little change in our thinking. You know, oftentimes I would get up in the morning and I would go, oh, I have to flip these rooms for these guests today. And then I said, no, Kathy, you get to flip these rooms for these guests today. And just changing how you do that self-talk makes a huge difference in that mindfulness, and it does help you to relax, because now it's like, no, I get to do this. This is the fun part. I actually get to do this. How many people get to do that? I get to meet people from all over the world that come into my home and stay at my guest house, and I get to do that. And so I was starting to slip into that mindset of, oh, I have to do this today, or oh, I have to do that today. And mm-hmm. I just made that small little tweak that I get to do this instead
yes.
of
having. Grateful for the opportunity. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is where the opposite is. Sympathetic nervous system, but the opposite is the parasympathetic nervous system. And this is where the relaxation piece comes into play, because this is where our body can rest. We have better digestion. We can't digest our food when we're on the go. We eat in the car, blah, 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 and we're not chewing, we're not digesting, which means we're not absorbing the nutrients well. We're not able to move those nutrients into the cells for our body to be able to utilize the nutrients. So rest and digest phase with this parasympathetic state is where all healing takes place, including your sleep. That's why that we need to be in that good relaxation state for sleep, because detoxification is happening and repair work, tissue repair work is happening. So yes, we absolutely need to do that relaxation and mindfulness piece. It's very, very important. Yeah.
Now, it wasn't on our list, but one of the things I wanted to ask you about while we're on this topic is, what about the intermittent fasting? Does that help the digestion if you do that correctly?
Well, again, it depends on the individual, because we don't want it to be an additional stir. If you're already stressed out and you don't know what to eat and you don't know what to prepare, and it's like, well, now I have to think about the timing of the food, right? Intermittent fasting is just, different time windows, which compress, the period of time that we eat food. Say, for example, if you go to have dinner at 7 p.m. and eat breakfast until 7 a.m. the next morning, that's a 12-hour fast. So there are definite benefits to that. But in them closing in that window to make it even a shorter period of time can be very beneficial. So if you can fast for 16 hours and then just eat within that 8-hour window, that can be very, very helpful, because it allows your body to use the stored sugar and body fat for an energy source, instead of just constantly putting more food in, then our blood sugar is going to spike, your insulin hormone is going to spike. And when insulin is spiking, we can't lose any body fat if that's what your goal is, which is a reason that a lot of people do it. So the intermittent fasting can be very beneficial for helping to achieve those goals. But I don't say everybody should just go ahead and intermittent fast, because you got to, what's good for this individual as well. Because maybe it's more stress on them. It's just like, well, but I'm really hungry at 7 a.m. I don't want to wait until 9 or 10, because then I can't get through my work day. And then my work, I'm stuck with meetings, and then I'm starving. And then I'm, okay. It's like, if it's not good for you, then okay. Well, so let's work with, each individual situation. Lots of good benefits to that.
One of the things that I do want to say to all of our listeners out there is put together a plan that works for you. Set those realistic goals. And again, I get a little crazy because I'm a self-proclaimed workaholic, and I get that. And I do like to be busy, but sometimes I get a little overcommitted, and I have to really kind of pull back, and I have to set those goals and be realistic about what I can really accomplish. And so one of the things that really works for me is to start delegating some of those responsibilities. And mm-hmm. I remember early on, I was going to clean all of the guest rooms, and I was going to run the academy, and I was going to take care of all the yard work. And I was, okay, well, now I've got a yard person and I've got a cleaning lady. So, and it does help, because now I'm delegating some of that, and I'm a little more realistic about what I really can get done. So how about you, Rita? Do you overcommit sometimes, or are you pretty
good? Yes, I'm a caretaker and I'm a giver. I'm a very heart-centered person. I love helping people. And when I see that there's a need, I always want to give. But that's something I still work on to this day, is setting those boundaries, because you really have to listen to yourself, your own body, put your own health first, and say, am I capable of doing this right now? Or is it going to overwhelm me? Am I getting anxiety thinking about, oh my gosh, I don't have time to get this done? Then you know that you're overcommitted. You have to put that self-care in the calendar first, And then if there's extra time and it comes from a place of joy and this and fulfillment, then go for it. But if it's a burden, then you know that you've overcommitted and you've got to cut back. Even though it can be hard sometimes, it could be, you know, family that may need you. You know, you've got to weigh the pros and cons of which are the most important. And then you got to cut those, you know, ones off the lower hanging that are, you know, it's just that, you know, when you, it just puts you over the edge. Like sometimes it's just that one extra thing. You're just like, you know, that's going to hurt you. So
It goes back to just prioritizing. Yeah, just prioritizing and putting the important things at the top of your list. And again, in the blog post that I wrote earlier today, one of the points there was learning to say no. And sometimes that's a tough one. And you have to kind of practice that a little bit so that when it comes out of your mouth, the no is okay. Yes.
To say I even do that with just like my daily list. It's like, okay, I always have a list. These are the things that I want to work on. And then I may look at the list. There's five things. And I'm like, I know there's no way I'm going to get all five of these done today. The list. And I say, okay, which is the one that absolutely has to get done today? And the priority list. And if there's a second, then I can go, you know, on the list. And if I have to stop at number two or three, then it's okay, because I know I still have more time and no guilt, no stress. It's like, okay, I got done the thing that was the most important for today. And tomorrow, you know, I'll start again.
Yeah.
That worked for me.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. And I read somewhere like, you know, our goal isn't to die with a clean desk. And again, so many people worry about all of the chores that they have to do that they kind of lose sight of the most important things. So how about that social support, connecting with friends and family? You know, sometimes I remember early on when I was so entrepreneurial that when I first started my very first business, you know, I was in sales and I had to meet these sales quotas and I was in my 20s and I just felt like if I was going to make a go of this thing, that I was the job I was working, that I had to, you know, be at the top of my game and I had to just pour everything into those sales calls. And you know, you do kind of lose sight of the connection with friends and family, and you miss birthday parties. How many times have we heard this story, you know, that the dad worked so much that he missed the kids' birthday parties, or the mom worked so much that she wasn't home, you know, for the prom weekend or whatever. And so I think it is very important, again, to put some margins in that schedule so that you can do that fun stuff. I've been driving my granddaughter. She wants to learn to drive on the freeway. And so I've been taking her once a week, and we've been just driving we pick a spot way out and all freeway driving, and she drives and we go, and then I buy her lunch at the other end and then we drive back. And so tomorrow's our day.
Awesome. So it's stressful, isn't it? Though I know I just taught mine to drive as well. But you enjoy the bonding time with them, right? So
I do. And I had, but I had to work it into my, I had to say that it's okay not to do these other things. And it's okay to just spend the day, you know, doing the more important things.
Absolutely. Well, you know, community is actually one of the six pillars of lifestyle medicine. It's nutrition, physical activity, stress, sleep, eliminating toxins, and community. I encourage everybody. There's a really great show on Netflix right now. It's called Live to 100, The Secrets of the Blue Zones. So there's a guy named Dan Butner who wrote this book called The Blue Zone, and he studied longevity in communities all around the world. He wanted to find which cities around the world had the highest number of centenarians, you know, people who lived to be 100. So this Netflix miniseries kind of documents, he goes to the communities and he interviews the people. And community is such a huge part of longevity for all of these people. They live in close networks with their families. There's a place in Sicily, Okinawa, Japan, Ikaria in Greece. There's the Loma Linda, California. So there's They interview, you know, the elders, and they live the other factors of the healthy lifestyle. They're eating, they're growing, they're gardening, they're growing their own food. They walk everywhere. You know, they live in these small towns where it's, they can walk to places, not like in America where we have to drive everywhere. So, community is critical for longevity and good health, good quality health.
I love
not,
that.
Not, we, not, li- not living in nursing home, in her- nursing homes like yes. in America.
Yes. I get that. We love that we live right at the edge of our historic part of our city because it's very walkable. And oftentimes we will walk to dinner. We'll walk on a Sunday morning. We'll walk to breakfast.
That's great.
I've got a couple of other properties close by and I'll say, oh, I have to go put the trash cans out. And we'll walk to go do that. And so there are sometimes, and Rita, you're probably not going to believe this. There are sometimes that I can go an entire week and not be in my car.
That's awesome. I wish I had that in my neighborhood. I mean, my neighborhood is not like that at all. I've got a drive everywhere. The only time I walk is when I say I'm going to walk the dog or I'm going to go for an exercise walk and I walk around my neighborhood, but I don't live, you know, in that kind of an area. So that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Now let's talk about stimulants like caffeine. And you wouldn't think that alcohol would be. You would think that alcohol is, of course, is considered a depressant. But yet, if you drink too much alcohol, it can really affect your sleep. And absolutely. Of course, then there's the whole nicotine, and all of those affect your sleep and how yes. much you rest, and then which indirectly or directly affects your stress levels.
Absolutely.
And especially again, if you're really trying to reduce your caffeine or you reduce your alcohol, or you're trying to quit smoking, and then all of a sudden you put all of that stress on yourself because you're, you know, you beat yourself up kind of to, so to speak, if you kind of fall off the wagon and then you beat yourself up there, and then that's a stressor.
Right.
So you again, baby steps, just keep going in the right direction.
Yeah. And then again, this is another place really to identify what your stressors are, because in our standard, you know, culture, people find, you know, in the afternoon where they start getting tired and they get that slump. What do? We just reach for more caffeine. Instead of just looking or stopping and saying, okay, well, why am I so tired right now? What can I do to change my environment so I don't get so tired in the afternoon? Did I just have a highly processed sugar lunch that's causing this slump? Did I sleep well last night? So we really could be a teachable moment for ourselves to look inward, to say, okay, what can I do to change my lifestyle so I'm not so tired in the afternoon that I need more and more coffee just to keep this hamster wheel going? Because that's what we do. We just think it's normal and we'll just have more, but it's not normal to feel that, you know, exhaustion all the time and need that caffeine to get going. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have some girlfriends that they, you know, they drink coffee all day. They drink it all afternoon. If they come over in the evening, you know, to have dinner with us, I'll say, what do you want? And they say, oh, I'll take some coffee. And I'm like, how can you drink coffee this late? And they're like, oh, it doesn't bother me. But you can tell they're a little bit wired.
Yeah. And something people don't realize too is that coffee beans and tea leaves are highly sprayed with pesticides. So if you're not drinking, you know, good organic quality teas and coffees, you're getting that extra pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, like these toxic chemicals that your body, again, is trying to just process and clean out based on the lifestyle that you're putting your body in. And then the extra tannins in the coffee can interfere with the absorption of good quality nutrients. We're trying to absorb vitamins and minerals, and all that extra coffee can disrupt the absorption of those. So that's another good reason to cut them back.
Yeah, good to know. Good to know. Now, I don't know about you, but Mark and I, we met ballroom dancing, and we love to go dancing whenever we can. And that is a way for us to stay active. And it's a hobby that we like, and it's a great social outlet. I remember back in the day when I was a single mom, and I was, again, that sales job, and I was, you know, I was going for the gold. I was going to try to, you know, be top producer. And I remember, and you've probably seen this, where you draw the life wheel and you do the spokes, and then each yes. spoke, one is health and one is exercise yep. and one is yep. family.
Circle of life and priorities. Yes.
And so I realized, you know, and then you have to kind of grade yourself, you know, are you a 5 in this area and you're an 8 in that area? And then of course you connect the dots, and the moderator at the time, he said, that's why you're having a bumpy ride. And so when I looked at my wheel, what I really needed was more exercise and social time. That's the two areas that I was really lacking, because I was working and pushing so hard in this sales career. And so mm-hmm. believe it or not, as a single mom, I took up square dancing, and I could take my 9-year-old daughter with me. She's 40 now. But I could take my 9-year-old daughter with me, and we joined a single square dance club, and everyone was so gracious that I was coming with my 9-year-old daughter, and she learned to square dance right along with me. And we laughed, we had so much fun, and it was active, and it was community, and it mm-hmm. was social, and it was all those things that I was missing. And I realized that, and it was, for those of you that are dancers out there, it was called Western square dancing, where every person in the square is doing a different step. So you had to really think about it. And what it did is it forced me to think about square dancing instead of the job.
Yes.
Which actually relaxed my mind, because it allowed me to get my mind off of my work. It kind of forced me to get my mind yes. off of my work. And so there's all kinds of hobbies and interests out there. You just have to see what it is that you're lacking and what you can do. Maybe you need more time. Maybe you're in a really busy, loud, noisy environment all day. And maybe you're the type of person, you're more of an introvert, and you need that time of quiet. Maybe you don't want to be out in a square dance crowd. Maybe you mm-hmm. want to be doing something just yourself, because yes. you're an introvert and you need to kind of yeah. recharge. Yeah. But pick something that works for you. Exactly. So Rita, what do you like to do to relax?
This is something I've really had to actively work on as well, because I'm a compliant personality, always like everything has to be done and done right. And, you know, and I'm always caring for so many people and doing so many things, that I put my vitamin J, which is vitamin joy, on the back burner for too long as a mom, you know, and not prioritizing what makes me happy. So I love exercising. But I think currently the thing that brings me the most joy that I really do look forward to is singing in my church choir. And singing is a great way to get into the parasympathetic nervous state, humming, singing, you know, anything that's relaxing. Some people love knitting or, you know, sewing.
That singing raises that vibration level.
Yes, yes. Even just humming. So yeah, whatever is brings you joy, think about what's your vitamin J, and you need some of it every day, even if it's only 5 minutes. So we need that. And vitamin P for play. You know, you need to play more. Like for me, I need to travel more. You know, COVID's over. My daughter's getting bigger now. I'm so excited. I tell you, I'm going to Italy in a couple of weeks. I'm so excited for that. So that's going to be my vitamin J and vitamin play.
Yes. Well, we're headed to Italy in November. So you'll have to let me know all your favorite spots so that Absolutely. We can maybe kind of duplicate some of those. And yes. I'm curious when you get back to find out how was the Wi-Fi. I'm trying to decide if I need to purchase an extra Wi-Fi or if it's strong enough at most of the hotels that I can do my Zoom calls. So we'll see how that
okay.
goes. I'll have to keep posted.
Sure.
Anyway, how about professional help? If somebody is really saying, you know what, I really can't get through this. And I don't know about you, Rita, but I've had some bumps in the road in my lifetime. And you kind of know when you're not handling it on your own, and that and oftentimes you might wait a little too long, but at some point you have to kind of look at yourself in the mirror and say, I really need to get some help. So
then
there's no stigma to that. So it does kind of become overwhelming, and then it can become chronic. And once it becomes chronic is when it becomes an issue.
Absolutely. That's why we have professionals to help with this.
How do you advise your folks though? Do you run into that in your practice, and how do you talk them into maybe getting some professional help?
I think said, most people who are really struggling are pretty open to receiving it. I think the challenge I find some is more is people finding the right fit. So I, you know, do have roles that I'll share with people, but I always say start with your insurance company, because you want to be able to have your services covered. Your health insurance, then you can, you know, have more of them that's affordable. So check with your insurance company first and say, this is what I need. And can you give me a list? And they will. They'll give you a list of in-network providers that you could reach out to. So I highly encourage that. Yeah, especially these last few years, you know, with COVID and isolation and just more stressors. Everybody's, you know, more stressed than ever before. And again, this culture of busy, crazy lifestyles that we live. I highly encourage people to get that support and the help. And sometimes, you know, you just need to call that funny friend to make you laugh and pull you out of a little slump. But for a lot of people, it's a lot more in depth than that. And anxiety is huge as well. So yeah, I highly encourage people to get professional help.
I love that. So remember, if you're out there and you're listening to this podcast tonight, just remember, set some clear boundaries for your work and your personal life. Avoid overextending yourself. Consider making some of those long-term changes, such as career adjustments. I mean, I've actually changed jobs before. Reevaluate some of those relationships. Sometimes that's a tough one, but you have to reevaluate some of those relationships.
That's so another toxin.
Yes. So monitor your stress levels regularly. And if you notice them increasing, take immediate steps to address them. So remember, it's an ongoing process. And this checklist can help you create a plan to reduce your stress and improve your overall well-being. So if you're listening in and you're watching this video, just get in touch with me, Kathy Benner at kathybenner.com. And I'll send you a copy of the list. Rita, any final comments that you'd like to make for our listeners? How can folks get in touch with you?
Yeah, I was to say, no, I think we covered a lot and a good amount. But yeah, if people want to reach out, they can reach out on my website, ritabrewer.com, and just hit the contact me list and shoot me an email. And I would love to help answer your questions.
I love it. Rita, thank you so much. As always, I appreciate you being on, and we will see everyone next time.
Bye-bye. Bye. You're so awesome.